This is Those Who Show Up Decide with Paul, Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez, creating storms of thought wherever he goes, flooding his environment with provoking personality and persuasion. He doesn't want you to think like him. He just wants you to think. He knows that only those who show up decide. And now for your host, Master Sergeant Chez.
Good morning, sports fans. Here we are in bright, sunny, unbelievably hot. Of course, if you're listening to me from Phoenix, you're thinking, dude, you're sitting in air conditioning. What are you talking about? But seriously hot out here, Alamogordo, New Mexico. We've had it in the hundreds and high 90s this week, which, you know, we're in the desert and it gets hot, so I get that. But wow, these are the months that I don't particularly look forward to in Alamogordo. I love the winter here because it's a mild winter and I get to be outside. I get to work in my shop. And if I'm cold, I put an extra layer on. But boy, during the summer, there's just not enough to take off. So, and I know that's a pretty obscene thought. Nobody needed that image. Sorry. But either way, folks, it's bright, sunny Saturday morning. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things on our show today. We're going to do a little international flavor. We're going to talk about the upcoming and probably absolutely disastrous Brazilian Olympics. We're going to be talking about the high humor given us this week from the Democratic National Convention. Lots of things to talk about in there. Boy, did the burn get shafted on that deal. Then we're also going to have, as always, our lost and restored faith. And I'm kind of really interested in the restored faith in humanity, because it's something that you'd think wouldn't have gone anywhere and done anything, and hey, look at that. Actually, something meaningful did result from that. So that was something I kind of keyed on for this week. Then we've got, of course, our flag and 1001 Dumbest Things. We'll quote from that book. We're going to do some political quotations this week. So let me get the show rolling. We're going to go ahead and pay one of our bills, and then we'll get straight into international news and the upcoming Brazilian Olympics and how much fun that's going to be.
MDC Computers on the corner of White Sands Boulevard and 12th Street is the only place in town that meets Master Sergeant Chez's computer needs. Devin and Chris repair computers, clean viruses, transfer data, sell new and used computer equipment, and have the knowledge and reasonable pricing to solve just about all of your computer issues and needs. You can contact them at 575-437-7600. That's 575-437-7600, and tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
Thank you, Jason, for those nice words about my good buddies, Devin and Chris, down at MDC Computers. Last week, we had a really great interview with horrible audio, and again, I want to apologize for that, with our presumptive, I guess you could say, District 3 County Commissioner, Miss Lori Bees. And she spoke at length about the timber on fire that happened a couple of weeks ago, and I mean, this is right in our community. Of course, there are wildfires all over California, all over the western United States. This is what happens this time of year. And we could debate for decades the policies of the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service and the way that they've managed the forest and not gotten out the old growth and the fallen trees, which then contributes to the fire hazard that continues throughout our nation, particularly the western states. But usually 1, 2, 3 times during this time of the year, we get the fire that occurs up here in the mountains in the Lincoln National Forest, very near to us here in Alamogordo and the Big Basin. So again, back a couple of weeks ago, we did have the timber on fire, and Lori spoke really good about those. I've spoken to some good friends of mine that live up there, and the fire obviously is completely out. I think there's still a couple of crews that might be up there just double checking a couple of remaining hot spots. There were 6 families that completely lost everything, and I mean everything, in this fire. I believe at this point I've been told that their clothing needs and those type of staples, those type of needs, have been dealt with. I think they might still be looking for travel trailers so that these people can live on their land while they're rebuilding their homes. Of course, the governor did declare a state of emergency, and by now the county has followed suit and the FEMA funds are coming in. So over time, you know, those people's homes will be rebuilt. But in the meantime, obviously, they've lost everything. I just checked on the GoFundMe page that last week Lori spoke about. And I want to remind you what it is. It is GoFundMe.com. And then it's Timberon Fire 2016. Timberon Fire 2016. So that's the Timberon Community Fire Fund, and it's been shared bunches of times, and this GoFundMe page is to help the community of Timberon. Please help with what you can. All proceeds will go to those who have lost everything and have no way of regaining what was lost. And as I look down the donations, there's donations everything from $5 up to, looks like the Artesia Volunteer Fire Department actually donated $1,000 to this fund. So, they are, let's take a look here. They are sitting just under $4,000. So as a matter of fact, I'm going to click myself here in just a minute as soon as I'm done recording the show. And I'm going to take that up another $25. I think they ought to have $39.50 sitting in their account. So let's see what we can do to pitch in for the people that are up in Timberon. It's part of our community here in the Big Basin. And if you don't live in the Big Basin, you're still part of our American and world community. And literally every single solitary dollar helps. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've raised money for charity where I've just tried to get the people to donate a dollar a week, $5 a month to a charity. And you'd absolutely be amazed when you add those $5 donations a month, $5 here, $10 there, how that just magnifies and multiplies from person to person to person and becomes thousands upon thousands of dollars. And it happens very, very quickly. So I would like you to definitely consider that. Now, last week we also mentioned that we were going to have the second half of the conversation with Lori and talk about the HAMETS, which is the proposal to of the Army helicopter squadrons down at Fort Bliss want to do mountain training flying around in the Lincoln National Forest. And Lori has a huge amount of concerns about that. I'm not going to put that interview on this week. Two reasons. Number one, what I didn't realize is that interview was a half an hour long, which I wouldn't mind so much if the audio was good, but it was atrocious, just like the other one that we had. And I also happen to know that Lori has still been doing more investigating and looking into the situation and the environmental impact up in the mountains if these helicopters do fly up there, particularly in regards to spreading the African rue, which is a really horribly noxious weed that grows out out at our airport here in Alamogordo. And the absolute last thing that we want to do is in any way enable that African rue to fly up the mountain on the wheels of these helicopters and end up spreading in the mountain area, because it would choke out all the other grass, flowers, vegetation that's up there. Not to mention if any wildlife, cattle, foxes, whatever's up in the mountains, coyotes, it would kill them. It is a poisonous weed. And we want to do everything we can to prevent the African rue from reaching the Lincoln National Forest. So Lori's got a lot of concerns. I think they're very well founded. Lori's also former Army, just as I am former Air Force. And the deal is that she does not want to in any way, shape, or form prohibit or prevent the Army from doing their training. You know, she's definitely in favor of that, but the problem is that you know, you don't want to kill your mountain at the same time you're doing that. Okay, so enough blase about every other things going on in the world. What I want to do now is I want to get into the international arena of our world. And what we're going to talk about real quick is the upcoming Brazilian Olympics. Because, wow, did anybody seriously think that this was a good idea to do? I mean, I get the idea that X amount of years ago, it was a good idea. You know, when they award these Olympics, like, I don't know, 10 years ahead of time. And, you know, Brazil is a beautiful country. Rio is a gorgeous city if you stay out of the slums and away from the high crime areas. I've never been there. This is, you know, obviously you see this on TV, Discovery Channel, etc. So I think the idea was well merited, I guess maybe would be the way to say it, but wow, did Brazil tank this one. I'm reading articles online every day, of course, in the run-up to the Olympics. One Olympian, they have a, what do they call it? They have an instant kidnapping down in Brazil. This is how good these guys are. They you're walking down the street, they snatch you. Okay, they grab you in a van, into a car, whatever the case may be, and they take you directly to an automatic teller machine, have you go over there and take out the maximum amount you can, $400, whatever it might be, out of the ATM, you pay them, and they let you go. How's that? That's like fast food kidnapping right there. Well, there was a guy, I want to say it was 2-3 weeks ago, I think he's Olympic biker, bicyclist, that was kidnapped. No, he was riding his bicycle, but he's a runner or something. Anyway, he had one of these instant kidnappings happen to him. And in his case, and I just read today that there was an arrest on this, he claimed that two police officers are the ones that did this. Not thugs on the street, two cops. Well, two police officers were just arrested today for this exact situation. The president of Brazil came out with a statement saying that, you know, he didn't want the actions of these two particular officers to reflect upon the other 50,000 that are trying to protect the city, blah, blah, blah. Okay, when your cops are blatantly taking people off the streets, I think you might have an issue with your police force. This is just a subtle thing. I personally don't see Chief Silence guys running around, kidnapping people, taking them over to First National, having them hit the ATM. I think we have honest police officers here at Alamogordo and throughout America, but wow, Brazil, this is what we do. Fast food kidnapping. That's just unbelievable. I also read an article today about how the Zika virus has actually gotten, they've had transmission in Florida that they believe came from mosquitoes. So that makes it official. The Zika virus, which could cause death in adults, but the most risky situation is if a pregnant woman gets Zika, then there's a huge chance that their baby will be born with microencephala, I think is what it's called, but either way, they get born with a very small head, and it doesn't leave room for brain growth, and it guarantees brain damage, and many of the babies don't even live through that. So Zika, well present down there. I've seen many videos of them walking around doing some type of spraying around the Olympic Village and around the venues. Doesn't look like a huge, massive effort going on down there. I've also read many stories of bacteria and other viruses and things being in the water, in the ocean, right, and the bays, right where Olympic sports are going to be swimming and doing some of the water sports. There have been huge problems with construction. We're just a week or two away from the Olympics starting, and I think I just saw today, only 19 out of 31 of the residences for the various Olympians that are coming in the Olympic Village are past inspection and are fit for people to live in. The Australians refused to move into theirs. I think New Zealand also refused to move into their area, citing things like leaking ceilings, mold, floors not finished, just disgusting, trashed areas. Then, if all of that's not enough, we have security problems. Because, you know, today's world is such a peaceful place. We don't need to worry about, you know, I mean, yeah, you got a little crime thing with police kidnapping people, but why be worried? It's the Olympics. Everybody's going to take a month off. It'll be great. Yeah, well, apparently the contractor they originally hired to put up the magnometers and the security cameras and do the policing of the Olympic venues and the village, etc. and so forth, had never done such a large contract before, and within the last week or so finally was fired because they haven't had security. There were very few magnometers out there, very few people guarding the entrances and exits. Honest to God, I pray I am wrong, but they have left the door wide open for some terrorist ISIS cell to have gone in and built in buried IEDs and God knows what throughout the entire venue, because there is almost no control down there. So, I mean, you can have bombs just waiting for some terrorist to wait till that stadium's filled with tourists and maybe a world leader or two and then blow it up. Hey, that sounds like fun. I mean, it is epic how bad the security is. So, you know, there's a solution. What you do is you just call a new company and have them come in because, you know, the Olympics aren't that big and it's real easy within 2 weeks to set up an entire Olympic security force just like, bam, just like that. So that's exactly what they did is they hired a new company come in and they're supposedly fixing all of this. There's complaints about the tri-border area. I think in the north end of Brazil, it's got three different countries come together and it is a known location for there's an Arab American community that expatriates from the Middle East that live in that area. There are known terrorists in that area that cross the border, get weapons, etc. and so forth. In the run-up to the Olympics, as far as them being awarded that they're going to have the Olympics in Brazil, there were many, many promises made by the Brazilian government about high patrols and really keeping that particular area locked down. Well, apparently there's virtually none. This is a perfect storm. I am very glad I'm here in Alamogordo because I think it is absolute madness for any person, any Olympian, any tourist to go to Brazil. I think we are going to see story after story after story of criminal activity, God forbid terrorism, certainly of people getting sick from the variety of things that are going on down there. This goes back to what I was saying last week about am I impacting, making you think about what's going on. I hope that this Brazilian Olympics coming up is something that you were aware of. A lot of people don't realize the Olympics even exist until one day they turn on and, hey, wow, look, there it's on TV. And now you're watching the Olympics and the whole country tunes into the Olympics for the 2 weeks that it goes on. And then they turn it off and they forget about it until 2 years from now when we have the Winter Olympics. This has been an ongoing concern of mine for months in the run-up to this, particularly with the Zika virus and how the World Health Organization, who, I mean, I guess they, you know, they've got doctors and scientists that do this thing, so they must know what they're talking about. When the Zika virus spreads exponentially as a result of this, you know, it's going to be a waste of time to blame the WHO, the World Health Organization. It will just be time to try to figure out how to fix it. I've got a game on my cell phone. I know everybody else in the world's playing Pokemon, and I'll talk about that here in a little bit again, but this is a fun story about Pokemon. I downloaded a game, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, just because it appealed to my sick sense of humanity and the world, and it's called Plague, and it's actually a really fun game, and what you do is you start the game, and you get to infect the world with a virus, and you got bacteria, and you got viruses and germs and all different things, and what you can do is you pick a country to start the virus in, and it starts, and you see one person gets infected, another person, and then as each person gets infected and people die and things of that nature happen, you get points. The objective is for you to destroy the world. Of course, this is a game that I would love. So you start impacting and you start trying to affect the world, and you add things like the genome for the virus mutates and it does this, does that. You have ways to make the virus go into birds, into livestock, into, oh, I don't know, mosquitoes. One of the things that happens during the game is they're having the Olympics in London within the game. And they talk about canceling it, and then they decide, no, we're going to go ahead and have it anyway. And the London Olympics in the game is part of what contributes to the spread worldwide. I think we are looking at a real-life scenario of this right now. And one thing in about that game, Plague, I did look at it online in a couple of places, some articles about it. The guys that designed that game have actually been invited to speak to the WHO, to the CDC, and other organizations that deal with infectious diseases to add, that the scientists wanted to ask the game creators, how did they develop their models, and they've exchanged information on how these diseases spread, because they've discovered that the game, the plague, is actually a fairly decent model, at least a basic model, of how we could have a worldwide disease as a result of an infectious disease breaking out. We were very worried about Ebola a year or so ago. Now it's Zika. At some point, one of these diseases is going to break out, and we're not going to be able to cure it. There are super bugs out there that will just stomp the bejesus out of us. And I don't think any country in this world is prepared for it, certainly not the United States. But, you know, when we're all bleeding out of our eyeballs and turning into zombies and eating each other's brains, we'll, you know, kind of see how it goes. So, oh, God, that is just so depressing. We're going to move on from Brazil. I would ask you to pray for everybody that's going down there to Brazil. And this is one of those times I really hope I'm wrong. I don't think I'm going to be, but I really hope I am. Let's go ahead and pay another bill, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the hijinks of the Democratic National Convention, and we are going to feel the burn.
Are you too busy to wash your ride? Did the soccer team go nuts with soda and Frito chips in the minivan? Are you selling your ride and want it to look awesome? Or do you just want to look awesome? Well, Louie, Chris, and the guys are the best mobile detailers in town. They'll come to your work or home and detail your smart car through RV, your kids' tricycle through construction vehicles. If it's got wheels, wings, or floats, Most Wanted Mobile Detail are the guys to call. You can reach Louie at 575-415-0256. That's 575-415-0256. Most Wanted Mobile Detail. Tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
And now it's time for the next phase of the absolute full five-ring circus that's going to be happening for the next couple of months. The election season. We just got done with the Democratic National Convention. It was inspiring. It was wonderful. It wanted to make me puke. I'm sorry, folks. I don't even know what to say about these guys. Republican convention 2 weeks ago, Cleveland survived. Open carry state, guys and gals walking around carrying AR-15s and every other gun that scares the poop out of Wall Street Journal or whoever that guy was, reporters, and made him have temporary PTSD. All of those type of weapons carried openly, except within the convention area, because that's Secret Service lockdown place. Nobody got shot. Wow, I'm stunned. Now, point, the Democratic Convention, no one got shot there either. So points on both sides of the team there. But Cleveland was open carry, and everybody was, oh, it's going to be the Wild Wild West. Nah, didn't happen. I only recall seeing one video of one protester trying to burn a flag. That got locked down in Cleveland instantly. This week at the Democratic National Convention, not only did we burn more flags than I could possibly count, it took until, I want to say it was Wednesday, until the Democrats decided to put flags on their stage. Take a look at the video from Monday and Tuesday, folks. There's not an American flag at all anywhere on that stage. These are our politicians. These are the people that are supposed to be representing us and supposed to be saying, hey, we're signing up to run your country. Wait a minute. What country was that? Let me look around. It's got to be. There were Russian flags in the Democratic Convention seating area. There was, I don't think there was any ISIS flags. I think there was a Palestinian flag in there somewhere. But no American flags. Now, did individual delegates carry American flags? Of course they did. But as far as put up on the stage, at least one off to the right somewhere where, you know, people say, okay, well, I guess we're American. No, not one single flag. There was a really great spot at one point. I think I saw it yesterday, where some protester decided, boy, he was mad about whatever, and he lit that American flag on fire and decided he was going to dance on it. Junior, let me give you a hint. When you are wearing a skirt, yes, this is a guy. I think he was the hippie kind of skirt-wearing guy. I don't think it was a transsexual issue. It was a very short video. Either way, he jumps on and starts dancing on the burning American flag and his ankle-length skirt caught on fire. And he had to stop, roll, and people had to try to put him out. And I was like, yes! Oh, payback. Great. Sorry, I have no sympathy for you at that point. We'll be playing this week's segment of Our Flag here in just a moment. And this week, I think I'm actually talking about burning American flags in this week's episode, but it's going to be about how to properly destroy an American flag when it is no longer fit for display, how to properly dispose of that flag. I'm not talking about desecration of flag. That, boys and girls, is going to be next week's episode, because the original time I wrote that one, it was a few years ago, and Little Wayne had just done some goofy video where he was walking on an American flag in his rap video, and that had everybody all freaked out and really upset me as well. So I'm going to rewrite that one and update it to our current, let's see how many times we can spit and stomp and whatever on the American flag. But enjoy this week's Our Flag when we get to that. In the meantime, hey, back to the DNC convention. So on the outside, we had all the different protesters and they shut down traffic and there were, you know, and it was just chaos outside. But the Democrats are very open. They want to be inclusive to everybody. And they really hate the idea that Trump, of course, you know, one of the very first things he said when he became presidential candidate, he said that he is going to build a wall between us and New Mexico, and he's going to make the Mexican government pay for it to stop the flow of illegal aliens, drugs, terrorists, and everything else that come across our southern border. Here in Alamogordo, I'm only about 70 miles from it. Every time I go to El Paso, the minute you get into El Paso, you look south, you're looking at Mexico. You're looking at Juarez right there. So, Trump wants to build this huge wall, and Democrats hate that because we're an inclusive, we're in an open society. We want to talk to people. And the first thing they did on the weekend before the convention was build a 4-mile-long, 8-foot-high fence to keep the riffraff out and away from the delegates who are trying to do serious work. Yeah, 8-foot-tall fence. That lasted the first day. It lasted the first day because apparently the protesters pushed on that fence so hard it actually almost broke, and God forbid those protesters almost mingled with delegates. Horrifying thought. That's why they added another mile of a second double fence. So you had the first 8-foot fence, and then you went out another 10 feet. They put another mile of fence up there to make sure those evil, nasty riffraff protesters didn't in any way get in and, God forbid, influence what's going on in their political thing. Not that us Republicans were really enthusiastic about bringing protesters into our convention, but I mean, if you're going to be the party that says everybody can say anything, and then you're going to shut everybody out, and then you're going to double down on that, I think that's a little hypocritical, and I found it amusing. So either way, that was the another thing that happened at the DNC convention this week, and that was highly amusing. Then, have I ever mentioned that the Democratic nominee for the presidential election? I don't know if you guys ever heard about this, but she had this little mix-up issue. I think FBI Director Comey said she was extraordinarily careless with her emails. You know, God forbid, just basically mailing every bit of intelligence we have directly to Putin. That's okay. No, it's no big deal because, you know, we don't need to prosecute for that. Forget the fact that there's a Marine that sent an email from his Gmail account to his buddies saying, hey, be careful over in this village. There's some ambush that's planned, and I don't want you guys to get hurt. And he sent this on open communication, and for one email, he got court-martialed. And that was to warn his buddies about this thing. Let's not talk about Hillary. But, you know, Loretta Lynch, our Attorney General, and our FBI Director said it was all okay. So we can just forget about emails. Yeah, that lasted until Saturday evening, just before the convention a week ago. And our good friend Julian Assange, who is the head of WikiLeaks, You know, you would think that I would have thought that WikiLeaks was a liberal type of organization. I wouldn't think that they would, you know, go out of their way. I figured they'd be slamming on Trump, not slamming on Hillary. But no, the eve of the Democratic convention, what do? They release 20,000 emails, all hacked and stolen from the Democratic National Committee's own computer system. 20,000 emails. And you better believe it was a feeding frenzy in the news. Journalists, I think they were just mainlining, you know, Red Bull and Monster drinks, going through these 20,000 emails to pick apart all the different ways that, you know, anytime you have an internal email system, you think you're safe and you're going to email stuff and, you know, hope that nobody sees your particularly funny comment. Remember the Sony debacle from a few years ago when allegedly North Korea got all bent out of shape because that one movie, I think The Interview, was getting released, and so there's a bunch of Sony entertainment emails that got released that were racist and really unflattering to a bunch of stars. Well, WikiLeaks just did that to the Democratic National Committee. And as a result, and it's shocking, I mean, stunned, I say, Debbie Wasserman, or what's her name, Schultz, okay, the chairperson for the Democratic National Committee, was found in emails with her own staff, not only disrespecting Bernie Sanders, his people, and different things. There were allegations in there and hints that they were looking to attack Bernie on his religion. And the entire primary process. For those of you that may not understand this, and I can't imagine how you wouldn't, when you are the Republican Party and the primary season starts and everybody is campaigning, all the different, you know, you had Trump, Carson, Cruz, Rubio, Christie, you know, the 17 or 18 dwarfs that attempted to become the Republican nominee, the party itself is not supposed to be picking, hey, we like that guy and we're going to help his campaign, but not this one. No, during the primaries, you got to stay absolutely dead even. My good friend Rocky Galassini used to be the party chair right here in Otero County for the Republican Party. And during the primaries, you would have multiple people running for a particular seat, county commissioner, county treasurer, maybe different commission seats, whatever the case may be. And you would never, ever see Rocky in any way displaying favoritism to one candidate or the other. She had friends throughout, of course, just like anybody else does. But when it came to what signs got displayed in the office, how she spoke about different candidates, when it was during the primary, she was dead equal across the board. Now, the minute the primary ends and you've got the person, boom, they are the candidates that's going to go forward to the general election, then Rocky soldiered up and stuck with that person. Whether it was the person that she might have internally, personally wanted to win or not, was not relevant. She was fair during the process, and then she assisted that candidate no matter what once we were headed towards the general. Well, the DNC didn't quite do that. Bernie Sanders had long said that Debbie, what's her name, had been biased towards Hillary Clinton. What a shock. And I don't even know why you would think that, because I just saw another story today that really blew my mind. I didn't realize this, that apparently back in 2008 when Hillary was running against Obama, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who is a congresswoman from Florida, she was actually Hillary's campaign chair for the whole thing against Obama. Well, they lost, okay? But then, it was weird, Hillary or somebody managed to get Debbie Wasserman to be appointed to the head of the Democratic National Committee. Okay, so, you know, obviously you would think that that makes her a good person for the position. But here's something interesting. The person that she took over for, according to the story that I saw today, her predecessor was a guy named Tim Kaine. Now, you may know that that's Hillary's vice presidential running mate right now. So it's kind of eyebrow raising when you take a look at it. Okay, so Debbie worked for Hillary in the campaign, got their butts kicked. Debbie becomes the DNC chair for now 8 years, and Debbie then skews the entire primary process of the Democrats to make sure that Hillary really wipes the floor with Bernie, which, by the way, side note, pretty sad that their intent was to do that and Bernie still hung on all the way to the last minute. But, you know, that's water under, over, bridges, dams, whatever. And then as soon as the campaign gets here to the actual convention and Hillary gets to pick who's her VP, it's the guy that Debbie took over for 8 years ago. I don't know. I'm not saying a promise was made. The article I read said that. So I think that's going to be something that might develop over time. And of course, it may also be one of those things we don't even ever know about. But so, yeah, Debbie, little Debbie, definitely got herself. I mean, she's ready for the biggest party. You know, that, I mean, 8 years she's been sitting in that chair as the DNC chair, and this is the big show. Her friend Hillary's got it. It's all locked up. We're going to have this big, awesome display for 4 days. It's going to be great. And Debbie has to resign. These emails break over the weekend. People start to make comments and get concerned about them. Journalists are writing articles. Monday morning, Debbie goes on the morning of the convention. Convention's going to open up Monday night. Debbie goes to have breakfast with her own stinking Florida delegation. And while she's speaking, spends the entire time getting booed and jeered at and yelled at by Bernie Sanders supporters because they've read these emails that showed that Debbie was trying to skew the whole thing to Hillary the entire time. She literally got booed almost directly off the stage. It was a fiasco. That was Monday morning. So then Debbie says, okay, well, I'm going to resign being the chair of the Democratic National Committee, but I will open and I will close the convention because I'm the chair right now. Okay, good stuff right there. That's a way to, you know, mollify people and maybe people will calm down. Well, Bernie Sanders supporters, honestly, you know who they remind me of? Does everybody remember when Ron Paul ran a few years back? Oh my God, if you were a Ron Paul supporter, there was no talking to you. There was no other way except what Ron Paul wanted. I think Ron Paul had fabulous ideas. I think Rand Paul has fabulous ideas. I think if you really looked at my political leanings, in the large part, I would almost certainly be a libertarian. But you could not get the Ron Paul people to even consider anything else. Well, this year we got the Bernie people feeling the burn. And all day Monday, the Bernie Sanders supporters, they were outside the convention with signs that said "Fire Debbie." And I mean, it was practically a riot. By Monday afternoon, Hillary, though, she immediately said that she is going to bring Debbie, since she's resigning from the National Committee, she's going to bring Debbie on board to her own campaign to be a co-chair for the whole Hillary for President campaign. Okay, so you have your computer breached, you have all these emails leaked out and going worldwide, and you get massively embarrassed to the point that you have to, I'm not talking about Hillary, I'm talking about Debbie right now, okay, we did the Hillary thing before, to the point that you have to resign as the convention, as the Democratic National Committee chair, period, and Hillary hires you on the spot. That's just awesome. There was a great meme that I saw during the week that had the picture on top. So you got busted and had to resign because of emails, and it's got Debbie with a really sad face on the top of the picture. On the bottom, it's got Hillary laughing and the word amateur. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, Hillary walked away from hers, but Debbie got steamrolled. By the evening, it was so bad that Debbie wasn't even allowed to gavel the convention open. She didn't say word one on the stage. I'm not even sure she was there. If she was smart at all, I'm sure that by Monday evening, she was on a plane going back to Florida. And it's so bad back in Florida, by the way, that her opponent in the primary, and oh, I got to find this guy's name. I think it's like Tim Callen is his name. Look up and Google the guy that is running against Debbie Wasserman Schultz in the Florida, I want to say 24th. He jumped all over this thing, made sure he tweeted out his donation link. And Debbie is such a lock on her seat that everybody thought the whole thing down in Florida was a joke with this guy. This guy, in one single day, by Tuesday night, I read the story. It said he'd picked up $100,000 in donations. And I will tell you, along with the timber on fire, I'm going to send him $20 too. Wait a minute. Did Chez just say he's sending $20 to a Democratic candidate? Oh, Chez is absolutely doing that. Because I want to do everything I can to help that guy, Callan, whatever his name is, beat the daylights, or at least cause nothing but aggravation for Debbie what's-her-name down there. Now, if he beats her, that's fabulous, and then I'll redeem my soul by figuring out who the Republican nominee or candidate for that particular seat is, and then I'll donate double, probably $40 down to that guy to redeem my soul. But, you know, anything that I can do to help old Deb out, I'm there for her. So, yeah, I mean, it was just a comedy of errors, and I could just see Hillary Saturday night, somebody coming to her and say, Madam Secretary, we have another email problem. Could you see Hillary say, oh, but this time it's not you. It's not you. You didn't do it this time. Oh, good Lord. So, Debbie, she got kicked out. What did we replace Debbie with? We replaced Debbie with Donna Brazil. Now, that took me a minute to figure out who she was. I knew the name. I thought she was a congresswoman. Totally wrong about that. She is a CNN commentator. And she was, I don't watch CNN, didn't watch CNN during the thing, but originally she was supposed to do commentary while, as soon as the convention's over, she's now supposed to be the chair of the Democratic National Committee. So, yeah, no bias for Donna whatsoever in reporting on the convention that she's then going to take over the party just as soon as that convention's over with. So, yeah, that was Donna Brazil. And by the way, if you look at the stories about Donna, you will also find that Donna herself had emails that were found that had been sent out with disparaging comments towards Bernie as well. So, yeah, they play real fair over on the Democrat side, and Bernie sure got burned on that entire fiasco, which then, of course, led into the entire Bernie Sanders supporters yelling, screaming, hooting, and hollering at anybody got on the stage. I think the only two people that had clean, well, it had to be three, that had clean speeches would have been Michelle Obama had a clean speech. Nobody's going to hoot and holler at her. I think, of course, President Obama, as well as Bill, and I forgot Chelsea Clinton. They had good speeches. Everybody else, anytime they got up there and started, you know, talking about how great Hillary's going to be the nominee for president, Bernie Sanders folks went berserk the entire convention and made as much a ruckus as humanly possible to try to get the convention, the party, to relook at the way the primary was done, with the very obvious way that the primaries were skewed to make sure Hillary won. But hey, there we go. Now we're done, and look at that. Hillary is actually the nominee. Amazing. Something I read today, the day after the convention closed, is Bernie Sanders has already announced that he's gone back to Vermont and he's switched his registration from Democrat back to independent, which is what he's been for the last 25, 30 years that he's been in Congress, as an independent. He just moved over into the Democrat column to try to actually make a serious run, which he absolutely did. But as an independent, he had never gained any traction whatsoever. Kind of like Gary Johnson isn't doing much at all with his campaign. But a lot of people will disagree with me on that. In fact, I probably need to do a whole thing on Gary Johnson, our former governor here in New Mexico, and how he's trying to do everything he can to pick off all the Bernie supporters and all the Trump people and all the people that were Cruz, Rubio, etc., and hate Trump. He's trying to get all of those people to go to the Libertarian Party. Of course, you got Jill Stein that's trying to pick off the Bernie supporters as well to bring them into the Green Party. It's actually somewhat of a very remote Twilight Zone concept that you could see a four-party run going at this presidential nomination, because you have conservatives like myself that cannot abide Trump. I'm going to have a Trump sign in my front yard. I'm going to have to paint it myself. And then on top of that, I'm going to vote for Trump because I think he is the only person that has any hope of beating Hillary. But, you know, but like I said, there are many people in the Republican Party that would rather not vote or would vote for Gary Johnson or they'd vote for Mickey Mouse before they vote for Trump. Then you've got the Democrats, okay? And you've got a huge amount of people over there, like Bernie Sanders people that got deep fried crispy as a result of everything that came out in those emails. And they can't stand Hillary, so they don't want to vote for Hillary no matter how much they hate Trump. So where are all these disaffected people going to go? Well, a bunch of them are just going to jump ship, not vote at all. A bunch of them are going to go over to Jill Stein and the Green Party. A bunch of them, you know, I personally, you know, you got Gary Johnson with the Libertarians. They could pick up. And what's not going to happen, but personally, I would go bankrupt donating to this, okay, is I would love to see Bernie Sanders get talked into running a third party run on his own. He's got a huge amount of support. I would, oh my God, if I hit Lotto this weekend, if I hit the Powerball, I'm going to go find the Burn, and I'm going to give $1 million, $10 million just to run a Bernie Sanders independent campaign for president. That would be just awesome. I mean, if we're going to have a five-ring circus, let's get five rings out there, people. Okay, I think I feel better now. I had to get that out of my system. I got into it today. In fact, here's the last thing about the Democratic Convention that I'm going to say. Last night at the Democratic Convention, well, I should go back to, I think it was Wednesday night, where at the convention, they brought out the mothers and families of particularly black and Hispanic children that and men and women that have been killed by police. All of the police shootings that, of course, have caused all the rioting across our nation. And the Black Lives Matter folks and all those, they got to go on the stage, and that happened on, it was either Tuesday or Wednesday night. And, of course, the Democratic Convention ate that up. And I don't dispute that it's a very difficult thing. I mean, they've lost their families to these tragic incidents, some which undoubtedly were that particular policeman's fault, policewoman's fault. Then again, in Baltimore, every single solitary one of those police officers that had been charged with the murder of Freddie Gray, the guy that got bounced around in the back of that van and was killed and caused all those riots in Baltimore, and Marilyn Mosby, the DA up there, went berserk and just jumped on everybody over that. Well, every charge was dropped. Not one of them got so much as a parking ticket for that. So it makes you wonder what really did happen. Okay, so Wednesday, all the moms and dads and everybody's out on the stage. Police unions go berserk because there was not one word mentioned of all the police officers killed in the line of duty. Oh, I don't know, Baton Rouge, let me think, Dallas, etc., and so forth. So, in a nod to them, it was Thursday night, they had a police chief, I think it's a sheriff from down in Dallas, come out and talk a little about the police that passed away and had a moment of, well, it was supposed to be a moment of silence. There's an article I posted on my site, Those Who Show Up Decide, that talk about the boos and the jeers that they got when they tried to have a moment of silence for our fallen police officers. Folks, I don't have a problem with you having a problem with police. I have no, you know, I get that, and I understand what the concern is. But you present your side, there you go. We're respectful, we listen, got it. Okay, now we present our side, and you got to step on us. That, it shows the absolute no class that of many of the of the Democrat delegates, and these are delegates inside. These are not the protesters going berserk on the street outside. So, yeah, I just have too much fun with politics. Okay, now I've got it out of my system. So with all that said, let's try to get ourselves back into some positive things to wrap up the show. We got about 10 minutes to go. We're going to go ahead and do our flag, Lost and Restored Faith, and 1001 Dumps. So it's very past pace for the rest of the show, and we'll be right back. proper disposal of our flag. The flag, when it is in such condition that it is no longer a fitting emblem for display, should be destroyed in a dignified way, preferably by burning. Burn an American flag? Well, that's what Title IV says. But how to properly burn it? I'm Paul Master Sanchez, retired Sanchez, and this is Our Flag. In a previous Our Flag, I spoke about when a flag is no longer fit for display, a very subjective standard. But no matter what standard you use to decide when a flag has seen its day, you then need to properly dispose of that flag. Just throwing it out is not acceptable, but many folks are then stuck with a worn-out flag, not knowing what to do. As stated in Title IV, you should destroy it in a dignified way, preferably by burning. So what's a dignified way? Once again, we have a term used without a definition. To be perfectly honest, you could absolutely go to your backyard grill and burn it there. And to be ridiculously obvious, let's not multitask and throw some burgers and hot dogs on at the same time. But seriously, it really is that simple. Ensure that the flag is burned entirely and then throw out the ashes as you normally would. I'd also clean the grill off of all other ashes, both before and after, so as to not mix the flag's ashes with regular charcoal. You can add to the ceremony by playing a recording of taps if you'd like, but you can keep it that simple, as Title IV states. There are much more formal options, of course. In most areas, you can usually find a local Boy Scout troop or veterans organization that holds a yearly flag-burning ceremony. Here in Alamogordo, our local troop, sponsored by the Elks Lodge, holds a ceremony every year around Veterans Day weekend. The ceremony includes taking the largest flag that has been turned in and carefully cutting each stripe out and individually placing it in a campfire. The union goes last. As each item is cut in place, there is a solemn script read with it. After each scout places their item in the fire, they then render a slow salute and march off. They also have the Holloman Air Force Base Steel Talons Honor Guard present with a color guard and a bugler to play taps. The whole event is very moving, and if you're able, I recommend you try to attend it at least once. After the first flag is retired, they camp out for the night and spend the rest of the night feeding the fire with all of the retired flags. They've been known to retire over 1,500 flags in one night. If you have a flag that you'd like to have retired by the Boy Scouts, you can go to the First National Bank office on 10th Street in Alamogordo year-round, and they will store the flags until it's time for the yearly ceremony. Or if you have access to Holloman Air Force Base, you can always drop it off at the Steel Talons Honor Guard. Bottom line, there are several dignified ways to retire or destroy a flag once it's unfit for display. Please, find an organization in your area that performs this service and don't just throw it in the trash. Remember, respect for our flag equals respect for our nation. And as always, if any listeners have any questions, comments about the content of this series, I welcome you to post comments on my Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide. The script and reference notes from these spots will be posted in the notes section. I'm Paul Master Sanchez, retired Sanchez, and may God bless you, and of course, may God bless America.
This week's Our Flag has been brought to you by the Otero County Conservatives. Come meet with us every third Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. in the new Heart Cowboy Church in Alamogordo, New Mexico, on the corner of White Sands Boulevard and Fairgrounds Road. We welcome all who are interested in taking our country back to the constitutional basis from whence we came. Come early and meet everybody while grabbing a bite to eat at the Hitchin Post right next door. Pastor Coy Griffin makes an awesome barbecue. That's the Otero County Conservatives meeting every third Thursday at 6 p.m. See you there. This is Melody Tapp Sanchez signing off from thebigbasin.com. May God bless you and may God bless America.
And because we have such a short amount of time left in the show, I'm just going to hit the Lost Faith very quickly and just say this week on Wednesday evening, a couple of knuckleheads broke into our local rec center right here in Alamogordo and rummaged through and stole money. If you are so desperate that you got to go to the local rec center to steal the $25, $50 that's in those drawers over there that are meant for the kids, that's truly desperate. You are a despicable human being. If you're in Alamogordo and you know which pinheads did this, please share that with the police. They definitely deserve some love. Restored Faith. Restored Faith, actually, I think is pretty cool this week. A couple years ago, we had that Ice Bucket Challenge. Everybody remember that? It was when everybody had to, and I did it too, you got tagged and you had to do the ice. You had to take a bucket of ice water like they do at the football games when you win and you're the coach. The players in the Super Bowl, they dump the bucket of Gatorade on you. So everybody has to dump the ice bucket challenge, dump the water on you. And then people donated like $25 to amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, called ALS is what everybody knows about it. It's a progressive neurodegenerative disease. So during that time, 2 years ago when that started, it was during the summer 2014, I guess in the 8 week period that everybody was doing the ice bucket challenge, they raised $115 million. That's amazing. Well, the ALS association that got all of that money ended up contributing $1 million to Project Mini E to launch the U.S. branch of the 15 country collaboration to sequence the entire genome of 15,000 ALS patients and 7,500 individuals without ALS. And I'm reading this off of Fox News. Their goal is to find as many genetic factors that contribute to ALS, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease, as possible, and then identify potential targets for therapy. Well, here's the payoff, and this is the restored faith. You know, we did a silly thing over the summer. We threw a bunch of money into the pot to try to cure this one disease, and in a study released on this past Monday, Project Mini E revealed they found a significant association between loss of function NEK1 variants and risk of familial ALS. NEK1 maintains neuron cyberskeletons among its many roles in neurons, according to the Rare Disease Foundation. Now, let me make this clear. I have no idea what I just said, but what I do know is it obviously was a pretty big step forward in finding the causes and possibly eventually a cure for ALS. So something goofy we did a couple of years ago paid off. Wouldn't it be great if when we're playing Pokemon that, you know, you donated a dollar to some cause every time you go Pokemon hunting? Oh, that would be wonderful.
Did you break down in the Big Basin and do you need a tow? Well, the best towing service in the Big Basin and surrounding area is 54 Towing. Amy and Jean-Paul have the trucks and expertise for whatever your towing needs are. From smart cars to semis, they will get it done. And if you're looking for a hard-to-find part for your ride, they also operate North 54 Salvage, the best salvage yard in Alamogordo. Just remember their slogan, we don't want an arm and a leg, we just want your toes. You can contact them at 575-585-9097. That's 575-585-9097. Tell them Master Sergeant Chez sent you.
So that just about wraps it for our show. I was going to tell you about some Pokemon hunting I actually did. I want to create a new word, you Pokemoned. Well, I Pokemoned. We don't have enough time to really talk about that this week. I will be posting a video on my Facebook page, Those Who Show Up Decide, of me Pokemoning. So go there and see what I did. It was funny. 1001 Dumbest Things Ever Said. Quick quote from, being that we had the DNC convention this week, I thought I'd quote our former president, Bill Clinton. And apparently at one point he was, I don't know, maybe he was in Mexico, but it says here, you know, if I were a single man, I might ask that mummy out. That's a good-looking mummy. Bill Clinton referring to an excavated Inca mummy. Yeah, that guy will go out with... I'm sorry, this is a family show. I shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. That is it for Those Who Show Up Decide on Saturday morning, July 30th. We made it through July without any particularly disastrous things happening to each and every one of us. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of your week. God bless you guys. You know, we got to quit yelling at each other. Let's talk. Let's figure things out. Be good to one another. God bless you, and I'll see you next week on Those Who Show.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Those Who Show Up Decide with Alamogordo's very own privately commissioned Jim Henson creation. I'm talking about none other than that towering and talkative Alamogordian activist, Paul Master Sergeant Chez Sanchez. Before we leave, don't forget to send your Chez Bomb cereal box tops, request for autographed portraits, wage garnishments, and restraining orders to thoswhoshow@hotmail.com. This has been Those Who Show Up Decide.